954 on Sydney's 2UE. Nostalgia with Craig Bennett.
And here he is. G'day there, Craig.
Hello, George.
Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Paul B.
All right, now today, I don't think we've ever spoken about this bloke before, and he's one of the greats, Gene Hackman.
I mean, one of the greatest greats,
yeah.
Isn't he, Gene
Hackman? And we were just shocked a second ago because we realised it, today in America, it would be yesterday our time, but today in America, he's 85.
I know, he's probably, you know, huddled over a great big fudge cake.
Yeah.
With a whole slew of candles on top in his fabulous mountain home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. About to blow out those candles, I'm sure, and celebrate 85 fabulous years.
He's still working, isn't he, Craig?
No, he retired 11 years ago.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, very quietly, and I'll tell you all about that in the whys and wherefores.
Yeah.
But you know what, with regard to Gene and his career, just very quickly, I mean, the critics have often said of him, you know, he's one of the very few actors who has never given a bad performance. Now, look, the movie might be a turkey, but Gene's performances have never been anything
less
than brilliant.
He's also extremely unique because you'll find that Al Pacino is the same person. Robert De Niro, you'll find that they're the same people in different movies. They're Robert De Niro. Or this bloke's always different in every movie he plays.
Well, you're right, Paul B. Kidd, because the thing is he is so incredibly versatile.
Exactly,
you know, you look
yeah.
over his 80 or so movies that he's made in a 50-year Hollywood career. For a start, there's not too many duds. There were 5 Oscar nominations, 2 wins. He won Academy Awards for The French Connection. I mean, how great was he as Popeye Doyle?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
With Roy Scheider. And then, of course, his second Oscar win was for Clint Eastwood's wonderful movie, Unforgiven. I mean, as I say, wonderfully versatile. He's appeared in virtually every genre, going from, gee whiz, back to the sweeping South Pacific sagas like Hawaii with Julie Andrews. He was, I mean, just incredible in comedies like The Birdcage with Robin Williams. There was another great comedy he was in, Heartbreakers with Sigourney Weaver, Young Frankenstein, that wonderful Gene Wilder movie. See, a lot of people forget about these movies he's done.
Yeah.
Gritty
yeah.
westerns like The Hunting Party with Oliver Reed, or Wyatt Earp, or the war movies like A Bridge Too Far. Then you've got the crime thrillers, Bonnie and Clyde, of course.
He was in Mississippi Burning as well, which is one of the great movies.
Well, you know what? It is. It's incredible. Everything he does is amazing. He was Lex Luthor in 3 Superman movies. And then, of course, you go to the disaster classics like The Poseidon Adventure. Remember, he was the preacher in that, the Reverend. He was even in, if you can believe this, a John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John schmaltz fest. If you remember the movie Two of a Kind, he was God in that one.
No, I forgot that one. Now, listen, when you say he retired, was there an issue there? I mean, he would have only been 75. Did he have some health problems, or did he just decide to retire?
You know what? He basically just said he was worth around $80 million.
Yeah.
And he figured it was time for other people to have a go. He'd been at the top, and he wanted to go out while he was still on the top. And that was, as I say, 2004. Mm. Look, fans keep hoping he's going to change his mind, because he did announce his retirement back in 1980. His career was, he felt, a bit on the slide. And then Warren Beatty lured him out to, you know, he wanted him to star in that movie Reds, which he did, and then his career was off and flying again. But look, I doubt this second time, with regard to his retirement, that, you know, at 85, I don't think you're going to see him come out of it, which is a great shame. Look, 2 marriages, there was a battle with the bottle. I've got to say, it's a very intriguing life, an absolute ripper. But then, would you two expect anything less? You wouldn't, would you?
No. I'm surprised at the battle with the bottle, that's all.
Oh, yes, but he won that battle with the bottle. So are we ready to slide back to
off
the
you go.
And
yep.
look at this amazing life? And I'm so glad you two are fans, because I love everything
huge,
Gene Hackman
huge
does.
Fans.
Eugenie Hackman is the name he was born with in California. Now, look, his mum, this is interesting, very sad, actually. His mum, whom he absolutely adored, was a hopeless alcoholic. The family moved to Illinois when he was very young because his dad was offered a job of running a printing press there, so the family ups and goes. One of Gene's first jobs as a boy was as a dog catcher for the local animal shelter. Now, when he was 13, his dad basically up and left the family because he could no longer cope with his wife's constant drunkenness. Now, Gene has an older brother who, in fact, this is a fabulous bit of trivia, was the very best friend of Dick Van Dyke, because Dick Van Dyke was living in the small town in Illinois where the Hackmans were living, and Dick lived around the corner, so Dick and Gene's brother were best chums. Look, when Gene was 16, he fled the family home because his mum, I told you, she was a drunk, in her continued inebriation, kept suggesting that Gene become the substitute father for the family, which was very odd because Gene was the youngest of the two boys. In any event, mum was addled and Gene couldn't take this anymore, so, you know, he up and leaves. Because he joined the Marines, basically. Very sad that Gene's mum would die tragically in a fire. She fell asleep drunk while smoking a cigarette and the place burnt down and she
died. That's a classic story, that one, isn't it?
Well, it is. And it was a terrible one that absolutely shook the family because, as I said, despite mum being a hopeless alcoholic, they loved her. So anyway, look, Gene fled, joined the Marines where he worked as a radio operator. And this is where his interest in showbiz was kind of sparked. So after he discharged, after DMOB, he went to university to study broadcasting and journalism because his initial dream was to become the George and Paul of New York, but all rolled into one. He wanted to become a, you know, top-rating radio host. So the job offers didn't roll in, and in the meantime, he had to figure out some way of making a living. So he did virtually everything he could. Like, he became very good at polishing things, from leather in ritzy hotels to brass knobs in ritzy hotels. He worked as a doorman. He drove trucks. He was he made milkshakes. He kind of did it all. When no radio job was, you know, going to come rolling in, he moved back to California. So this was now the mid-50s, so he's about 25. And he signs up at the Pasadena Playhouse, which is a very famous place where you can learn the ins and outs of acting and so forth. And he's there working along with the likes of Dustin Hoffman and Robert Duvall. Now, they became very close friends. In fact, still are. They're besties. Here, though, is the shocker, George and Paul, and how often have we heard this? All three, so we're talking Dustin Hoffman, Robert Duvall, and Gene Hackman, all three were voted by the top kahunas at the Pasadena Playhouse the least likely to succeed.
Now, all of them.
You know, it's all three. Not just one, or not just two, but all three. So feeling dejected, they were kind of like the Three Musketeers, they headed to New York to try their hand at the theatre. They bunked in together in this tiny apartment. There was only two beds, so while they took turns sleeping on the floor. And look, they eventually started landing off Broadway roles, all three of them. So, I mean, that's a lovely, delicious story you really rarely hear. Now, Gene's first movie credit came in 1964, and in fact, it was in Warren Beatty's movie Lilith. So, I mean, Gene was a bit of a late bloomer as a movie actor because he was 34 when he first faced a movie camera. He was doing like bits and bobs on telly around the same time, and in fact was actually offered the role of Mike Brady, the dad in The Brady Bunch.
Oh, really?
And he almost took it, but his agent said, "Nah, look, I've got a feeling about this. Don't think that's the role for you, and I just know something more substantial's around the corner." So,
well, the agent was very clever.
Very clever, and I'm sure Robert Reed, who wound up nabbing the role of the dad in The Brady Bunch, is probably, you know, in his grave still cursing and kicking at that agent because he wound up hating that role with an absolute passion and a vengeance and is wishing that Gene Hackman had have taken it because then he'd have missed out on it and he'd never have been, you know, typecast as the dad from The Brady Bunch. Look, over the years, what's interesting is Gene Hackman turned down an avalanche of big movie roles. He was the first choice to play Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs.
That wouldn't have worked.
Well, you know what? You cannot see that role played by anybody else except Anthony Hopkins.
Can't.
Sorry.
Hey, but I got to say, before he hit the really big time with French Connection,
yes,
he was in a movie that's always resonated with me, a movie I absolutely love called I Never Sang for My Father.
Oh, wasn't that a beauty?
Oh, that is just one of the most wonderful, and it was a small movie. I don't think it was a big hit, but it was just a fantastic movie.
And very poignant, and he was so beautiful in that. See, I mean, everything he does, his nuances, you know, are just amazing. But I got to say, with great respect to Gene Hackman, you could not see him playing Hannibal Lecter when we know how brilliant Anthony Hopkins is. What about this? He turned down the lead role in The Fugitive, a role, of course, that went to Tommy Lee Jones. Again, Tommy Lee Jones was marvellous in that. I know, Paul B. Kidd, you're a great fan of the movie Jaws. Did you know he turned down the role?